In this week's Sedra, we read this morning, Yaakov Avinu was running away from his brother Esau, who wanted to kill him, and he fell asleep, and he had a dream where there was a ladder going up to heaven, and angels were going up and coming down. And the Medrash has a long, long arichas with different interpretations of what this is supposed to represent. Malachim going up and going down. Usually we visualize Malachim live in heaven, and they come down, and then they go back up. How come they're going up and first and coming down? So the Medrash has a long arichas on this, and the Gemara in Chulin, the Perikid on Asha, also discusses it. So the interpretation the Gemara gives is the following, that in the Sefer Yecheskel, the Kis Yaakov is described as having four different heads. It has Pnei Aryeh, a lion's head, Pnei Kruv, Pnei Nesher, an eagle's head, and Pnei Adam, a human face. And then the tradition has it that the Pnei Adam is the most yuknam shal Yaakov Avinu, schakuk al kisei hakoved. So the Gemara explains the Agarata, the Malachim were going up to heaven to look at the kisei hakoved, because they knew that the most yuknam shal Yaakov Avinu is schakuk al kisei hakoved, and the most yuknam represents what potential does Yaakov Avinu have. So they went up to heaven, they saw this man has tremendous potential. Then they come back down to earth, and they see that he's sleeping. So the Gemara says, Bikshu the har guy, a man with so much potential, why is he sleeping? He should be doing something, he should be busy with activities, learning Torah, davening, doing mitzvah, something, that, not just to sleep away, to waste time. And then the pasuk continues, V'hinei Hashem nitzav alav, and the Mefarshim HaChumash have two ways to translate Nitzav Olav. Either Hashem was on top of the ladder, Hashem was on top of Yaakov. So the Gemara's version was that the Malachim wanted to bikshul the Hargan, wanted to kill Yaakov. A man with such potential is wasting his time sleeping. So Hashem was on top of Yaakov to protect him, that the Malachim should not kill him. But Hashem said he is knocked out. He was traveling so long, running away from his brother. He has a right to sleep a little bit. To sleep too much, that's not right. One who has tremendous potential shouldn't waste too much time. Shouldn't get drunk, he shouldn't go on drugs, he's going to make himself into a labar das. A person who has potential should use that potential to accomplish things. The first Lubavitcher Rebbe is known as the Baal HaTanya. He wrote a sefer on Amunah Hashkafa that starts with the word Tanya. He quotes a Gemara, a Braisa Tanya. So he has a whole section that's called Igeres HaTshuva, and he writes that there are two forms of tshuva. One is if a person did averis, and he does tshuva from the averis, and one is if a person didn't do any averis, he just didn't fulfill his potential. A person has to do tshuva from that also, to fulfill his potential. How does one gain hatzlocha in, let's say, in learning? So people always ask for brachas. Person wants a bracha, he should be a masliach. So I remember I was married a while and we didn't have any children, so we thought maybe if we'll visit Eretz Yisrael, maybe we'll be zeichet to children. And that's what happened. We visited Eretz Yisrael during the summer, and then we were blessed with 9 children. Not all that year, spread out over 18 years. Our oldest child was in Eretz Yisrael at the age of 18, when the youngest child was born in America. So I remember when we spent the week in Bnei Brak, the Gemara says sometimes Avon Chutz Lord's Garden. Sometimes you don't have children because you live in Chutz Lord's. Because when Avram Avinu didn't have any children, so it says after 10 years, after he came to Eretz Yisrael, after 10 years, had no children, then his wife Sarah said, maybe live with Hagar. So the Gemara says the years that he was in Chutz Lord's don't count because of in Chutz Lord's girl. So sometimes you don't have children because you live in Chutz Lord's. So we spent a week in Bnei Brak because my wife's grandfather, at the end of his life, lived in Bnei Brak and wanted to meet the people whom he knew. And my father-in-law gave us a list of all of his chaverim, different rabbeim, and part of his yeshiva and other yeshivas. So we went to visit all those people. So they told me I should go for a bracha for children to disciple them. So I said, who's the disciple? I never heard of this disciple. At that time, the Svarim are not available in America. So they told me he wrote a lot of Svarim. They didn't tell me he's deaf. They told me he wrote a lot of Svarim. What you do is you go, you buy a Sefer, and then after you buy the Sefer, then you ask for a bracha. So I came to this disciple's home. he was hard of hearing, he had a scream in his ear, so he had a pad of paper with a pen, so everybody who wants something writes down. I didn't know if I would like his form, so I wasn't prepared to invest so much money. It turned out it was hardly anything. It wasn't expensive at all. So I bought one safe. I bought this type of the safe on Kiddushin, because this was in the middle of the summer, and the yeshiva next year was going to learn Kiddushin. So he climbed up on the ladder. He pulled down a volume on Kiddushin. He blows off the dust. He wipes off the dust, blows off the dust. I give him whatever, a couple of dollars, or it's a couple of shkolim. And he gives me the change, a nickel or a quarter or something. So I said, you can keep the change. I don't know. He said, it's not a charity case. He doesn't need charity. Business is business. He gives me back the quarter. Shine. Then he screams out, what else can I do for you? So I wrote down on a pad of paper that I'm married a while. We don't have any children. So he gave me a bracha. We should have children. What else can I do for you? So I told him, I was embarrassed to tell him that I'm a Rebbe in the yeshiva, because then he's going to give me a hard time. How come I don't have a beard? I was afraid he's going to give me a hard time. So I told him, I learned in the koilot, which was also true. I gave yeshiva in the morning, and yeshiva I learned in the koilot in the afternoon. So I said, I learned in the koilot, can you give me a bracha that I should be matzdech on learning? So he screamed at me in Yiddish, and he said, all the brachas in the world will not help. Sit and learn, and you'll be matzliach. Brachas don't help. That's what I heard from the start. Brachas don't help. You have to sit and learn. How do you learn? You have to go menakal alakovei. First you do the easy things, then you do the harder things. It's interesting, there's a famous story about the Vilna Gaon. The Hasidim have a minig that they don't eat gebroks on Pesach, so they don't eat knedlach. So when they told this to the Vilna Gaon, he wanted, by definition, whatever the Hasidim do is wrong. So he took a knedlach, he put it in the window, everybody should know that he eats knedlach on Pesach. So where does it say this story? There was a Talmid Chacham in Europe, in the early 1800s, who wrote one sefer on all of Shas. He has a few haoras on brachas and on Shabbat. It's not a whole sefer on one mesichta, a little bit on this mesichta and that mesichta. It doesn't have too much. So he has this story, and he writes in the Hagdamah, I forgot the name of the sefer, but they have it in all the history books. They quote this incident with the knedlach, and he writes in the introduction to his sefer, his father was a rabbi in some little village. And his father paid Rav David Tebel. He's the one who, Rav David Tebel learned from Rav Chaim Volozhiner when he first founded the Volozhiner Yeshiva. And he wrote the Nachlas David and Bava Kama and different Mesichtas. So his father, the author of the Sefer, writes that his father paid Rav David Tebel to learn with him a Chavrusa. He was a little older than him. And he says, he was stronger than me in learning. I was bright, but he was stronger in learning because he lived, when he was brought up, he lived closer to the city Vilna. So the Derech HaLimud of the Vilna Gaon had already reached his village, and I lived further away from the Vilna, so the Derech HaLimud didn't reach yet his village. And what is the Derech HaLimud of the Vilna Gaon? That's why David Tevel knew how to learn better than him. So he says, the Seder, you have to go menakal alakovei. By now you still have, if you go to Satmar, on any Shabbos morning. So you see, the kids will, they daven shachris at 11:30 or something. So what do they do in the morning? So they go to mikveh, then they ma'aveh sedra, then the children learn with their fathers, parshas hashavua, the chazah, whatever. And then you have little kids before bar mitzvah. They're learning shulchan aruch hilchos Shabbos with the Magen Avraham. But the Magen Avraham is written by Kitzur Nimrutz. He's commenting on a Tosfos somewhere. They don't know the Gemara. They don't know the Tosfos. They're just reading the Magen Avraham. So how can you understand straight what the Magen Avraham is talking about? Well, you learn chayshan nishpah with the shach. So the Shach is talking about a Marsha and a Tosfos in Sanhedrin. You don't know the Gemara, you don't know the Tosfos, you don't know the Marsha. And Shach says, look at the Marsha, and he gives a whole cup. So for sure you're going to misunderstand. So that was the Derech HaLimud. They started with young children learning Gemara. Before they knew the Chumash, they started learning Shulchan Aruch. Before they knew the Gemara, it was out of order. And the Derech HaLimud of the Gro was, you got to go in order, as the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos has it. First you learn Tanakh, then you learn Mishnayos, then you learn Gemara. If you go in order, and Akal ala Kavet, so then you'll be successful in learning. So number one is, the Gemara said, there's a Takanas Chacham, you have to be Mavis said, Rabbi Bik, Shnai Mikra Recha Targum. Strictly speaking, Targum means Targum Unkelis, there's a Machlekes in Rishainim, some say it's Machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. Would you be Yoytzei, Shnai Mikra Recha Targum, if you only do Rashi, you didn't do Targum Unkelis. So they recommend you should do both. You should do Targum Unkelis. when you do Targum Onkelos, it doesn't. We don't really know Aramaic, so it doesn't help us. Usually, will rarely help you to figure out Pshat and the Pasuk. But if you do Targum Onkelos, that'll help you read Gemara, because the Targum Onkelos has all these Aramaic words, and we get to know, because we know what the words in Hebrew mean. So we're learning Aramaic, and then we'll be able to figure out Gemaras easier. So you really should do Shnai Mirchach Targum and Targum Onkelos, but you should do Rashi also. Rashi and Chumash is fantastic. He introduces you to the whole world of the Torah Shabbal Peh. There's a Pshuta Shal Mikra and a Mikra Etz Mishib. The Pshuta Shal Mikra is also true, and Rashi gives you all the drushes of the Torah Shabbal Peh. So you have to start with Shnai Mikra Vechat Targum. Then you have to go through the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. It isn't so much Kitzur Shulchan, the whole book. Most of the dinim, if you're an observant person, most of the dinim, you'll know how to daven, how to say Krishna, Hilchos Shabbos, more or less. Most of the dinim, you'll know. Now they have Kitzur Shulchan Aruch with Nekudas, and we have a footnote that Targum and the Chazon Ish disagrees, and when the Mishnah Berurah disagrees, okay, so you can get a fancy, you have Mishnah, they have Kitzur Shulchan Aruch with English translations. If you go through the Kitzur, any din that you knew for sure, so the second time around you can skip it, maybe check or underline those din that you were surprised to read. So the next time, next year, when you go through the whole Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, you can skip those that are not underlined, those that are not checked off. But you should really do Kitzur Shulchan Aruch 1 or 2, 3 years in a row, so you'll know, you'll have down the basics of all of the halacha. The first Lubavitcher Rebbe, known as the Balatanya, wrote the Shulchan Aruch Harav. Mishnah Berurah quotes it every other page. He quotes from the Balatanya Shulchan Aruch Harav. So most of the Shulchan Aruch of the Balatanya is like a Chayodam or a Chafmasodam. He'll quote the Pasuk, he'll give an explanation, he'll give you the background and the Torah Shabbat Peh. Then when there's Machlekes, the Taz, and the Magen Avraham, he'll tell you what he thinks the din is. Machlekes and Yerideh between the Taz and the Shach, so he'll tell you what he thinks the Hachra is. Except for one section, Hilchos Talmud Torah, he rewrote the whole thing from scratch. Everything Mechadosh. Because the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch apparently didn't do such a good job in Hilchos Talmud Torah, so the Baal HaTanya took over the whole thing and did everything anew. So one of the things that he points out, Rav Chaim Halozhin has the same in his Sefer Nefesh HaChaim, but the Baal HaTanya has in more barichas, that each Jewish man has an obligation to learn Kol HaTorah Kulam. So then he raises the question, how is that physically possible? The Gemara in Erevin quotes a pasuk, Arucha Me'eretz Midor, Rechove Mineyam, and the Gemara said that refers to Torah. The Torah is so vast, it's impossible for anybody. Arucha Me'eretz Midor, Rechove Mineyam, it's impossible for anybody to master Kol HaTorah Kulam. How can you say that every Jewish person requires to learn Kol HaTorah Kulam? So the Baal HaTanya answers that statement that the Gemara makes, that the Torah Shabbal Pez, Aruch HaMeretz Midah, that means Oimek Havanas HaInyanim, to understand something deeper, 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 there's always deeper. As deep as he went, there's always something deeper, and you say, this is connected to that, this is connected to that. That's Aruch HaMeretz Midah. But what is the text of Kol HaTorah? There is a text of Kol HaTorah Kulam. He can put all the books in one little bookcase, and he tells you what the text of what is the text of Kol HaTorah Kulam. He says Tanakh. Believe it or not, there's a mitzvah Talmud Torah when you study Tanakh. It's not enough that you mav sedra every week. We're supposed to know the Nevi'im Uksuvim. Not enough that we know the names of the Nevi'im. We have to know what they said also. Unfortunately, in the yeshivas it was neglected. Historically, the reason why it was neglected is because the Apikursim started learning Tanakh and teaching Tanakh with different interpretations against the traditions that the Gemara has. That's why the religious Jews ran away. The same thing, there's a famous letter from Rabbi Yemeir Bloch, who founded the Telzer Yeshiva in Cleveland after the Second World War. So a few years after HaKamas HaMedina, the Mizrahi and the Aguda in Cleveland sponsored a joint Yom Ha'atzmaut celebration. So one of the Balabatim from Breuer's community over here in the neighborhood sent a letter to Rabbi Yemeir Bloch, how can you co-sponsor a Yom Ha'atzmaut function? We don't believe in the Medina. So he responded, and then his letter, a long letter, and the letter was printed and reprinted, and now it's even available in English. People translate it into English. So he writes in the letter, what do you mean we don't believe in the Medina? Eretz Yisrael is part of our tradition. Zionism is part of our religion. And he points out that there were three things that in the last years before the Second World War, last century or so, two centuries, the religious Jews ran away from Zionism because Zionism was started by the secular Jews who wanted to establish the Medina to take the place of the religion. And they ran away from studying Tanakh because the Apikursim were interpreting the Psukim not in accordance with the traditions that the Gemara has. And they were running away from speaking Baloshna Kodesh, even though the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos on Pirkei Avos, if it's Zorbi Mitzvah Kala Kavachamura, so the Rambam says, what's an example of a Mitzvah Kala? The Dabar Baloshna Kodesh. And he quotes Psukim, he quotes Gemara, quotes Psukim, that it's a Mitzvah, part of Talmud Torah, is to speak Baloshna Kodesh. It's not right that we all give shir in English or in Yiddish. He's supposed to give shir, he's supposed to learn, he's supposed to talk. Baloshna Kodesh, more correct. So the Jews ran away from it because who were the ones who were speaking Loshna Kodesh in the recent years? You have Achad Ha'am, who was an atheist, you have Mendel Amoichas Svarim. All those who were delivering papers in Hebrew were all anti-religious, atheists and agnostics and so on. So that's why the religious Jews ran away. So Rabbi Meir Bloch says he wouldn't be prepared to attend a Yom HaTzmaut function that's not co-sponsored by the Aguda. If it's only sponsored by the Mizrahi, they may have something that he won't agree with. But it's co-sponsored with the Agudas. He has a veto power. So everything they're going to have is going to be Al Taras HaKodesh. Everything is fine. He said, there's nothing wrong with Ledaber Baloshen HaKodesh and to learn Tanakh and to support Zionism. We should take back these three major parts of our religion and observe them according to the tradition. We should learn Tanakh the way we're supposed to and Ledaber Baloshen HaKodesh the way we're supposed to and believe in religious Zionism, not secular Zionism. So, believe it or not, part of Kol HaTorah Kula is Tanakh. We're supposed to learn all of Tanakh and know what it says there. And Mishnayos, he gives you the Balatan, he gives you what constitutes Kol HaTorah Kula. So he says, Tanakh, Kisvei HaKodesh, that's 24 Svarim, not so much. Then you have Mishnayos, you have Tosefta, Talmud Bavli, Yerushalmi, Sefiro Sefer Mechilta, Rambam and Shulchan Aruch. He said, that's the text of Kol HaTorah Kula. Not that vast. If you really want to fully understand everything, then you need Rav Baruch Be'er Svarim and Rav Chaim Svarim and Rav Shem Rishkav Svarim. Then you need another 10 times as many Svarim. But just what is the text of Kol HaTorah Kula to understand on a basic level, on a simple level? It's not so much. I remember when I graduated high school, so a lot of my classmates were fooling around, wasting time in high school. College, they were full, wasting time in college. So then when they started smicha, so then they became so dead serious. So they were learning like crazy. They were staying up late at night and trying to catch up for all the years that they weren't learning in high school and college. So I used to tell them, I have a whole lifetime ahead. You don't have to finish Kol HaTorah Kula in 1 year. If you learn everything too quickly, for sure you're going to forget everything. You have to learn it. If you're going to learn, like in some yeshivas, they only learn the first five blot in any mesichta. That's ridiculous. There are yesoides and gittin from the beginning to the end. You have to learn the whole mesichta. There are things very important. Yikorim in the mesichta, that are in the end of the mesichta. You have to learn everything. But you have to learn it. If you learn it too slowly, you're not going to get an understanding. If you learn it too quickly, you're going to forget everything. You have to learn at a decent pace. And then I remember when I was learning in college, in Esmicha, we used to cover approximately 40 blot in the morning shiur. Then in the afternoon, when we learned in the curl, we covered another 40 blot. Then at night, some of the boys reviewed what they learned in the morning, the afternoon. Other boys felt that they knew it well enough. So we learned another 40 blot. So you learned 40 blot, 120 blot in 1 year, that's very good. Then the next year, another 120 blot. Next year, another 120 blot. Then after 3-4 years, you probably forget a lot of what you learned in the beginning, so you review again. You have to chaza. You have to chaza like crazy 55 times or something. In the days of the Gemara, the Torah Shebaal Peh was not written down. So they spoke about that the chok was in the yeshiva, you had to chaza 100 times. That's why the Gemara says, before you did was the Chok HaKavua in the yeshiva to review it 100 times because nothing was written down. So they had to memorize everything. So they had to review 100 times. So if you learn, if you review it 101 times, then it's even better. Today, everything is printed. You have encyclopedias. It's easier to find things. So I don't know if it's so important now, the first time. You have to learn 101 times. You learn it, you get it straight. In Slabodka, they chose that the shiur is only going to be on the 7 mesichtas. And Yivam is Ksub is Gittin Kiddushin, and Babakama Bansir Babi Basra. Why they picked Noshim and Zik, and why is that? Because the Mishnah says in the end of Babi Basra that Harotzo Sheyachkim Yasek B'dinim Ominis. The Mishnah says, one who wants to sharpen his mind should learn Dinim Ominis. She'elucha Mikzah Batara Godel Mizeh. This is the most complicated area. And the Balamor lived in the city Lunel, and that's why he called this Sefer in France. And Provence, the southern part of France, but the Chachmi Provence lived. So he called this Sefer Hamor HaKotten, the moon. But he says when it comes to Noshim and Azikin, even though the Mishnah only says Nezikin, it's Noshim and Azikin, that you can't understand just with the light of the moon, you have to have the sun has to be shining. So he calls the Sefer Noshim and Azikin, calls it Hamor HaGadol. So that's why in Slabodka they decided they're going to concentrate on the 7 Mesichtas of Noshim and Azikin, and everything else they're going to run through with Bikiyas. So this was instituted by Slabodka. And most of the yeshivas in America follow that practice. Rabbi Ankotl learned in Slabodka, Rabbi Rudiman, and Rabbi Yanke Kamenetzka, they all learned in Slabodka. Rabbi Yanke was in Torah Vedas, and Rabbi Rudiman founded the yeshiva in Baltimore, and so on. And then the other mesichtas, they would run through just Bikiyas. This yeshiva was a combination of 2 yeshivas on the Lower East Side, and one of them was founded by Lithuania Balabatim, and they called the name of the yeshiva Eitz Chaim. They still have the name Eitz Chaim on the emblem of the yeshiva. One was the yeshiva Zabisko Chanan. It was paid for by Russian Jews after it was founded within the year after Zabisko Chanan passed away. And he was the rabbi for all of, he was a rabbi in Kovna, but he had an influence on all of Russia. So they founded the yeshiva in memory of Zabisko Chanan. And before that, there was the yeshiva Eitz Chaim. So the two combined together. So in Volozhin, they didn't only concentrate on the 7 mesichtas. They went from Brochus to Nida, then they went back again. Everybody covered everything at the same speed. There was no difference between the Kiyas and Iyun. Everything was not too much Iyun. You don't only learn 5 blad a year. You learn 40 blad a year, 45 blad a year. And you cover all the mesichtas. You have to cover all the mesichtas. I wish you all hatzlocha. The yeshiva has a lot to offer. In addition to the regular shiur, there's always an extra shiur here or there. And you should grab as much as you can. I remember when I was a student, there were so many extra shiurim, it was physically impossible to grab everything because they were at the same time. There used to be an extra shiur in Yerushalmi that Rabbi Brunschbigel used to give, an extra shiurim in halacha. They still have now a lot of shiurim in halacha, morning Seder after Shachris. Grab as much as you can. If you're going to try to bite off too much, everything will be watered down. Don't try to get too much. You have a whole lifetime ahead of you. Do with the seichel. Try to cover as much as possible in a year within reason. And try after 3-4 years. You certainly will forget, unless you have a superhuman memory, you certainly will be enough time to forget what you learned 4 years ago. So then it's time to chazer. You should all have atzlocha, but all the brachas that I give are worthless. Sit and learn and you'll be matzliach. Okay. We have 10 people who ate bread.